Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring, boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right, there's no one I'd rather talk to and no topic I'd rather talk about right now than to producer Evan and about the best offseason acquisitions, because Evan, whoever won the offseason, it's a lesson we learned every single year. It's not who actually wins. And they should actually have a banner. There should be an award, because if we're going to say who won the offseason, Dodgers won the offseason, right? They're not winning yet. They're not winning as much. But
as a writer.
Yeah, as of right now, I think they'll be okay. This obviously, we just heard from Richard Fitz, who is a guy who was traded for Alec Verdugo. This is a theme podcast. And speaking of Verdugo, he had three hits. It's perfect timing. Three hits on Sunday. His Q rating has never been higher in the eyes of the Yankees. I asked you to rank me your top five offseason acquisitions, and my guess is Alex Verdugo, despite his three hits, is not on that list, correct?
No, but teaser, it's another Yankee. I mean, I do have another Yankee.
Who could it be? But it's in case people don't know, Richard, as we point out, Richard Fitz, obviously part of the trade that traded Verdugo to the Yankees, along with Greg Weissert and another minor leaguer. And there's a lot of deals that we can pick through, a lot of free agents. Another guy that probably, I'll give you two guys that aren't on the list either, I guarantee you, is Jordan Montgomery, because he's only pitched once. Okay, yeah. He's not on.
I had to be fair. Yeah, he's not on. Nope.
And Blake Snell, because he hasn't pitched well.
No. Blake Snell right now is kind of like what a lot of fans were scared of when they heard their team was interested in Blake Snell. They're like, yeah, sure, he won the Cy Young. He won two Cy Youngs at the same time. He might turn into a pumpkin. We kind of play it easy on Blake Snell. But
well, so another spoiler. I'm basically going to keep going until I name your whole list. But are there any Scott Boras free agents on your list? Dramatic pause.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. Right. I mean, there's one for the one that's going to be in the future, but he's not.
We know who this is going to be. Like, we get it. Juan Soto is on the list. Yeah, we get it. All right.
There you go.
Spoiler. All right. Like, you just wanted to say it. You want to scream it from the mountaintops.
Yeah.
You have 50 million hits.
The other thing I was going to go to is his last name starts with an S. And then I was like, people might say, oh, Marcus Stroman. I was going to try to mix it in.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
but I do like this list. I like this conversation because it makes teams feel good. It is also interesting. The team with the best record in baseball right now, as we sit here, would not be classified as a team that did anything in the offseason. The Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah, I know. When you think about their roster, it's like there's really nobody that jumps out. I mean, the only guy is like Esteban Florio, who's like buried in AAA. He's had like a couple big hits, but I don't think he's really like – he's kind of crap.
Yeah, but as we talked to Chris Antonetti, I mean, he said there is that value of saying, okay, the timing of the younger players coming up is going to match up with the guys that we have, like the guys, the certainty guys of Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor and these sort of guys. So they knew that they had that next level for these young players, and that's part of this evaluation. But that's the Cleveland Guardians, good for you. We'll talk plenty about them, I'm sure, this coming week. More importantly, it's time to award the teams that have gotten the five best offseason acquisitions. And by identifying those offseason acquisitions, number five best offseason acquisition, Evan, who do you got?
Number five is a guy that I think a lot of people could have seen it coming because he was a guy that was buried, but had so much talent. And it was just like, man, at first the trade was like, this is a weird trade, but then it works out. Michael Busch, Chicago Cubs, traded over from the LA Dodgers, hitting 309 right now, six homers, had five straight games with a homer, 15 RBIs, a 1.002 OPS, a 0.6 WAR. He's just been a great acquisition for the Cubs. He was a guy where I think when the trade happened, a lot of people were like, this could be a good acquisition. Obviously, you know, right now they didn't think he'd be doing this well, but at the same time, he was a guy where it feels like you could plug him anywhere. Like, I think he's played like third, second, first. He could probably play a little in the outfield. So I think that was a really under the radar addition. That's why I have him right there at number five.
Yeah, that fell under the, you know, if he's on another team, he probably doesn't get traded. I mean, obviously. I mean, because you know, the Dodgers say, well, we have this embarrassment of riches. We signed Teoscar Hernandez and we can get something for this guy. But yeah, good for the Cubs. Yeah. I mean, good for the Cubs for identifying him. Is there another Cub on the list?
Yes. Hoyer. Jed Hoyer had a great offseason.
I love that you have literally no idea like what to say. Like, should I reveal too much or too little? Anyway, all right. Well, I like that. I actually, I hope to have Butch on the podcast. Talked to him a little bit last year and seems like a good guy. He's like standing outside Fenway Park. Hello, Rob Bradford. Hello, Michael Busch. Like, I like when they do that. Like, first of all, I might not know who you are. It's like when you're going to a cocktail party and you ask the person you're with, can you introduce that person yourself to that person? So that, because I have no idea who they are. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You forgot his name or whatever.
Yeah. So that's, but thank you. Now we all know who Michael Busch is. And his brand has never been hotter as of right now. All right. Number four.
Yeah, so number four is a guy that was already mentioned on this podcast by you and by Richard Fitz. It's the guy who benches a ton, Tyler O'Neill, 313 average, seven home runs, eight RBIs, a 1.209 OPS, a 0.8 WAR. I know he's hurt right now. Hopefully, he'll be the same player when he comes back from that concussion. That was freaking brutal to watch. He like,
well, I said this. I always get worried about concussions. And And obviously Tyler's been on the podcast a couple times. He's a good guy. Hope for the best. He's having a great year. Good player, like all around good player. Watching him play a lot, really, really good player. Yep. But the concussion things always scares me. And the one that I cite always is a straight ball right down the middle for you, which is the Jason Bay. Like you were a young man, a young kid, but Jason Bay was
really another one that comes to mind. Rizzo last year, where they didn't.
That's another good one. Yeah,
he just fell apart. Yeah, so that's definitely the scary part, because it's like, and I think Red Sox fans also probably have a little PTSD, not concussion wise, but like Adam Duvall got off to such a hot start last year, and then he also got hurt. So it's like, it feels like the same story over again a little bit.
Yeah, I think this was, you know, if it's any consolation. Number one, it was a mild concussion. I see he's been working out and hitting and everything else. Number two, I think the 3% body fat actually helps you when it comes to concussions. I'm no scientist. Who knows? I didn't get hurt. All right. That's a good one. That's a good trade for the Red Sox to give him credit, because I think the guys, they gave up a couple of minor league pitchers. Nick Robertson was just called up. He was one of the pitchers that was sent, but no, you know, nothing that was going to certainly, they think, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe they gave him up. And you know, you're getting a guy in a contract here, which is going to be a theme. So, all right, number three.
Yeah. So number three, I feel like the top three honestly could have been in any order, because they've all been like playing out of their minds. But number three, I have Shota Imanaga, 3-0, 0.84 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 0.75 WHIP, and a 0.9 WAR. You know, going in through the offseason, we were with every person, we're like, oh, you know, Yamamoto. But then there's Imanaga. And it was like such a tricky thing, because people were like, well, you know, Yamamoto's so much younger. But they're like, man, Imanaga looks just like, you know, like a Senga situation where, you know, everybody looks at somebody else and then he comes in and becomes like a stud. And he's been just that so far. So he's really, you know, he went from a guy where people were like, man, you know, he's a lot like Senga in that, like, you know, people might be overlooking him because he's already 30, but you know, he's a star pitcher, and so far he's been just that, especially because, you know, the Cubs lose, you know, their opening day guy and Justin Steele very early in the season, and they were like, man, you know, that stinks, we might not have somebody to replace him, and Imanaga has been their ace. So
yeah,
it was hard to leave.
The unfortunate thing for like Yamamoto or Dodgers fans is he's always going to be compared to him, right? I mean, he's always going to be all you Dodgers. What are you doing? You got the Cubs got Imanaga for this, and you bent over backwards financially and everything else for Yamamoto. Well, pump the brakes. Yamamoto is 25 years old. I think he's been okay. Yeah. You know, he's been okay. He's like, it's fine. It's okay. So, but it's a tribute, tip of the chapeau to Jed Hoyer. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. All right, number two.
So number two, this is the guy we basically already mentioned. 337 batting average, Juan Soto. 337 batting average, 5 homers, 20 RBIs, a 1.035 OPS, 1.6 WAR. He's just been going crazy with the Yankees. I feel like he's the guy where, like, Gerrit Cole went down and Yankee fans were like, oh, crap, you know. Like, this team might be in shambles, but I mean, he's like reinvigorated that offense. Yankee fans are losing their minds. All these other fans are getting happy because they're like, oh man, if the Yankees don't, you know, up their price, you know, he could come to us next season. But he's just been dominating there. He's been a stud there. I think most people expected him obviously to be a star, but yeah, he's been great.
I thought he was going to be number one. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
the top three were tricky to put in an order, because, and actually I almost lost my mind because I had like a different order, and then I was like, oh crap, I almost left out Juan Soto.
Oh really? I do want to get your honorable mentions at the end, but that's the one that jumps to mind. I mean, he's been everything that they could hope for, and he's going to be, you know, that whole $440 million offer the Nationals made, everyone's like, oh, how could you turn it down? He's going to make $500 million. Like, let's just say that something happened to him right now. Like, they was going to still allow him to play next year. I still think he would make $500 million. You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, he just seems like a franchise-changing player, because it's like he can come in, and granted, he's actually been better in the outfield, too. because they used to, before they were like, the tricky thing was him is he might end up being a DH because he kind of stinks in the field, but he's been really good in the outfield too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't even know who's going to be number one. Who's number one?
It's a number one. It could have kind of gone either way, to be honest, because they're both pretty close, but it's Shohei Ohtani, a 368 batting average, five home runs, 13 RBIs, a 1.94 OPS, a 1.3 WAR. Like, he's kind of gone under the radar because people just expect it out of him now. But I mean, he's been everything that the Dodgers could have asked for, and obviously,
you know why
everybody kind of knew.
I'm sitting here, Evan, and I'm thinking, am I that stupid? Has it been that long of a day where I just totally forgot about Ohtani, and I'm thinking, why didn't I not think of him? And I think the main reason is because that the Dodgers haven't been like this unbelievable team that, and because that's how I look through a lot of these players. Well, that these players have been the reason why these teams have been so great. And like, the Dodgers haven't been bad. What are they, like 13-11 or something like that? So it's, he's been real. He's done everything that you would ask him of him. I can't argue with what you're talking about. The Soto Ohtani thing, I think we should put up a poll. Like, I think we should put up a poll. Who was the better offseason acquisition? Right?
Yeah.
That
would definitely be, you might get infiltrated a little bit, but
you have to obviously eliminate, you know, long-term contract implications and everything else to say who has been, how would you even phrase that? Who has been the better player for their team? Would that be a right way to put it?
Yeah.
Who has been the better?
Yeah, because if you put like more impactful, I feel like you might get Soto. And if you put something else, you might get Ohtani. But yeah, who's been the better player overall for their new team this season or something like that?
All right. Can you put that poll up?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. So by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to vote at BB Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. Did I repeat that? Or should I repeat that? Yes. At BB Isn't Boring. Social account, Twitter account, X account, Instagram account. All right. Who missed out? Who are crying in their soup right now?
Yes. The first guy that I actually had a number five before I, you know, came to my senses and realized Soto was actually a player was Jordan Hicks for the Giants, 2.61 ERA, you know, 18 Ks, 0.93 WHIP, 1.0 WAR. He's been really good because, you know, like obviously Blake Snell hasn't performed. Logan Webb's been the stud that he's been for the past couple of years. So him and Hicks have been really, really great for the Giants.
Yeah. So I probably would have taken Hicks over Bush, I think.
Okay. That's fair.
Don't back down.
Yeah, the bottom spot got a little tricky because I had Hicks, right? And then Turnbull for the Phillies has been really good. He has like a 1.23 ERA. He's been really good. Seth Lugo's been pretty good. His ERA is a little higher, but he's been really good for the Royals. He has a 2.03 ERA. Renato Lopez for the Braves has been a star, another converted reliever. He has a 0.50 ERA. So he's like on another level. The only tricky thing there is Hicks has started five games. He started three. I didn't really know how to like whatever. And then Justin Turner's had a really great start for the Blue Jays. I don't know if he's been as impactful as some of these other guys. Ahmed Rosario has great numbers, but at the same time, he also, I don't know. I don't know if he's like,
so I didn't ask you this. I didn't ask you this. So if you don't have an answer, just say, I'll look into it. Who has been the worst one?
Yeah.
Who has been the worst one?
I mean, Blake Snell has been pretty bad. Hader's been pretty bad.
Josh Hader.
He's been pretty bad for the Astros.
But there's some guys.
Cody Bellinger's kind of got.
Yeah, he's okay.
So it's kind of been like a balance.
Yeah.
A little bit, but.
It's interesting. Some guys from last year have done really, really poorly coming out of the gate. Like, I don't know if you've been following the Jose Abreu stuff. You know, horrific. Bogarts, oh my goodness, struggling mightily.
Jackson Merrill's been great. So it's kind of like gotten like the rookie who's been a star, and then Bogarts is kind of.
I'm not positive. Is he a free agent? Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill?
No, he's a rookie.
No, I understand. That's why I'm like saying, why are you mentioning him? I know he's not a beast. 20 years old. Actually, he just turned 21. Yeah. Happy birthday to Jackson. So I think it's a good list. I think it's a good list. And you enjoyed the Richard Fitz interview.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was good. If you watch the video version on YouTube, which we'll put out later in the day, you could see he's smiling the entire interview. I don't think I've seen a guy smile that much.
So happy to be on the podcast.
He was down for everything. He was going crazy. And then it was funny when you were asking him, like, you're like, so you can't grow a beard? Like, why don't you have a beard? And he's like, I can't grow a beard. I've tried to grow a beard. No, I can't grow.
That's my first question. Like, oh, people came from the Yankees or going to the Yankees. I've told that Darnell McDonald like 50 times, though. So about having to cut off his dreadlocks and then like getting cut a week later. Anyway, all right. Excellent job. Excellent job. Good work. Big week coming up, Evan. Big week.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits. Make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.